Thanks. How's everybody doing tonight? Hopefully doing great. Good. I'm obviously pretty excited for what's coming up. Indianapolis 500, only the biggest race of my career. So it's been what seems like an eternity to get here, just because I've been, you know, before this I was racing in Champ Car, where it was road racing only, but the cars were just as powerful, pretty much the same race cars, but we weren't racing at Indianapolis. So finally, 5 years later, I'm here in Indy, running in the Indianapolis 500, driving for Bobby Rahal, and most importantly for Ethanol. It's been a huge honor of mine to actually not only just represent Ethanol in a way where I drive the car and the names on the side of the car, but to be a spokesperson for them and for the movement, for the entire effort from front to back. It's been an honor, and obviously it comes to a head at Indy. We're gonna definitely have a good day tomorrow. You know, we want to keep our nose clean. That's the biggest thing. It's a long race, and a lot of guys can get down the wrong road, so to speak, when they end up rushing the race in the beginning. It comes to you. It's 500 miles, and one thing we've been real good at this year is making the ethanol Indy car, better over a run. And when I say that means we adjust the wings, we adjust everything on the car to make it better through the pit stops as we go on. We've been consistently in the top five, not only in qualifying, like at St. Pete, but in racing. In Homestead, we were in the top five. We got a bad luck on a restart there because of Tony Kanaan, and finished seventh. And then at Motegi, we had to pit stop. We had to pit early. We were actually fourth at the time and fell back to seventh because of the pit stop. But it is what it is. The pace is there. That's the important thing. And the most important thing to me is bring that car home tomorrow and giving Ethanol its best ever Indy 500 result. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm proud to be representing all of you. Thanks for coming out to the race. I'm sure you guys have plenty of questions. That's the most interesting part for me, is actually answering your questions rather than just sitting up here and, you know, babbling off about what I'm doing tomorrow. But it's a dream come true for me, driving Indy cars for a living. It's unreal. So if anybody has any questions or anything like that, I can answer them, and, you know, feel free, shoot from the hip on it. Anybody have any questions? All right, not all at once. Yeah, I mean, we've been here for a month, you know, at Indy. It feels like it goes on forever. We've done a lot of laps here. We're as for a race car, and when I say a race car compared to a qualifying car is much less downforce than a race car. And our race car, we're very comfortable, and I think we'll have a great race. We've got great people calling the strategy on the race. Indy 500 is a lot of strategy. So that'll be interesting. Half the time, I don't even understand what's going on, and they're telling me, hey, you got to pit now because we're going to be here later, and this and that and the other. It's complicated understanding pit strategy. But, yeah, we're comfortable going into it. This team has won races in the past, won an Indy 500 in the past. So definitely comfortable. For sure. Well, first, the biggest competitor would be those red and white Target cars, the Ganassi cars. Ganassi, Penske, and Andretti Green Racing are outspending the paddock right now, pretty much. And with these cars and with the formula that the series is in, it's basically how much money do you want to spend to go fast? And that's wind tunnel testing and making these cars go fast in a straight line, reducing drag while keeping downforce. That's the name of the game in IndyCar right now. And a lot of these teams are outspending us, and that's just the way it is. I mean, it's you know, Penske spending $10 million, $11 million a year each car. You know, that's a $20 million budget to go IndyCar racing. But nonetheless, that's the biggest thing. The Ganassi cars, they've got it. They've got it hammered. They're doing it, and they're going to be very hard to beat for sure. And the hardest part of the race is when the car is bad, like at Motegi. I started the race. The car wanted to hit the wall every lap. The rear end was flying around, and that's when it's the hardest, is when the car's not right. But I came back in. We made some changes. We made it better. And at the end of the race, I was the fastest car on the track. So that's what we hope to do tomorrow. We've done all our preparing. I got to just have a good night's sleep and get up and do it. Got to kind of have my blinders on, you know, and just kind of – you got to soak it in, but at the same time, it's your job. You got to go out there. You can't be too much of a, you know, you can't be too in awe of the place, obviously. That's kind of hard. When you have almost 500,000 people in one and one racetrack, it's kind of hard not to take it all in. But I'm going to have fun at the same time, do my job, and at the end just go for broke and try to have a great result. Anybody else? It's got to be a couple. There you go. Sure. Well, I do know, you know, I wasn't here when the league did the exact switch, you know, the full-on switch. I wasn't here when that happened. But the benefits have been that we get better fuel mileage on ethanol, right? So we were able to reduce the fuel cell or the fuel tank, which has lightened the weight of the car, which is a performance gain right there. Obviously, the environmental, less of a carbon footprint. And the fact that we... The entire series now has gone in that direction, has moved other racing, like the American Le Mans series, in that direction, going to E85. And we apparently gained, now I'm saying apparently, we did gain low-range torque, low-range RPM torque with the switch to ethanol. When I raced in Champ Car, those were 850 horsepower turbo cars. So they were... much different. These are naturally aspirated 650 horsepower cars. So on a road course, the IndyCar somewhat feels a little bit tame compared to the Champ Car. So it's not a direct comparison, and that's about all I can give you on that. But I do know the benefits, that's for sure. Go ahead.
How'd you get into racing?
Funny story, actually by mistake. I started, my dad made the mistake of getting me a little yard cart, right? That was the biggest financial mistake of his life. And I almost got run over a bunch of times in the neighborhood. And I lived in Boca Raton, which unfortunately was like, it's more of a senior town, you know. And trust me, they didn't like my go-kart. And they had a little community meeting on it. And one day I got home from school and they told me I wasn't allowed to ride my go-kart anymore. So that got me onto a racetrack. And, you know, that was the contingency plan, was to get to a racetrack, just get a go-kart and start racing go-karts at a track. Didn't all happen that quick, but over time I started racing go-karts and it was competitive all over the nation, racing, you know, 125 mile per hour go-karts, which is hard to believe, but yeah, they're 6-speed, 120 mile an hour karts. And I actually got my girlfriend Becky hooked on that lately. She's been doing that with me. It's the best workout you can ever do. I still do it all the time. Karting is the most fun you can have on four wheels. And then from there, it was just, I got hooked up in the Skip Barber Racing program and just moved up from there. And it was gaining sponsors and winning races and doing the right things off the track. This day and age in racing, you have to be a businessman off the track, too. You have to do the right things off the track. So that was a big part of it for me. And obviously, you can't go anywhere without results, so winning races. That's the gist of it. Go ahead.
What's it like going 225 miles per hour?
That's a good question. I get that question quite a bit, but I wish there was something, you know, in football you can pick up a football and throw it, in golf you can pick up a club and hit the ball and kind of experience what they're experiencing, but I wish I could tell you what it's like going into turn one at Indianapolis doing 230 miles an hour, 233 miles an hour. It's it doesn't feel right at first, you know? It's like when you go down the straight and the corner's so narrow and the stands are there, It looks like it looks like there's no turn there. And then you get down into it, and you don't think the car... You have to have trust in the car. That's the hardest part. And when they crash, it hurts bad, you know? Trust me. I mean, these things are not like NASCARs where the fenders fold, and then this folds and that folds. It's boom, straight to the back of the tub, which is right in your back. But it's this feeling of trust, and you have to trust the car, and it's a point I've never been to in my life where it's a feeling. I have been on other racetracks, but telling you guys, it's a feeling that I've never felt before. It actually does feel like you're flying low, you know, and you go into the corner and there's concrete wall right there. And it's, it's amazing. It's amazing those cars can do that, really, because you don't believe in it until you're actually in the corner and it's stuck and it's sitting there and you're going through the corner with 4Gs loaded up. And you get out of it. So it's a pretty cool feeling. And we're going to do that all day tomorrow.